95 DFM.
There's a bit of blip on your speaker. Say that again. Graham Hill.
Graham Hill here. Graham Hill.
Were there two?
95 DFM.
Were there? Okay, there seems to be a satellite delay, right?
Sure is. We're halfway around the world, or no, a quarter.
Yeah. Was there another voice before you spoke?
Was there another voice? No.
Okay, you just you sound a bit different from the first voice. But I guess it was. Yeah, I don't know why that would happen. Unless it's Tom Touche screwing around with the taping.
Well, yeah, you might have some theories on it. I'm not sure. You're Bob from Bob's Media Ecology, right?
Yes.
When we got the CD here, we started reading the book in the middle, and I got about three sentences through, and I just could not understand what you were on about. I love the music. Can you explain for us?
Explain the booklet?
Yeah, or explain what your agenda is, perhaps.
Well, the booklet is way more important than the CD. And, of course, because it explains what the CD is an attempt to sample. And, of course, I had nothing to do with the making of the CD. It was done by Dave Neufeld and Nelson Thal under the direction of Tom Touche, who was trying to sabotage my agenda. So that the only really accurate statement of what I'm about is the memo to Prince Charles from June 4th, 1987, which is a real memo to Prince Charles, which Tom Touche, who was my butler at that time, stole from my files. So I emphasize in interviews or anybody who asks me about the CD to concentrate on the pamphlet, so I really welcome your questions, because that's really what... What'd you say?
I just said okay. Okay, Nelson Thal signs at the end of it.
Yeah, he's the executive producer.
Of the CD.
Yes. And I don't know who he is.
So how did these people get hold of all the stuff for the CD and call it Producers for Bob? You call it Bob's Media Ecology. Did they do it without your permission?
Yes. But I don't mind because I'm so wealthy, it doesn't bother me. I do welcome the chance for people to read the memo. I don't mind that being out. And basically, Dave Neufeld, Nelson Thal taped my show in Toronto, which happened for 4 years. And they took samples.
Is this a radio show of some sort?
Yes, it was a talk show. And where I spent 4 years explaining, basically, and elaborating on the pamphlet that you have in your hands there. So that it was easy to make the CD from samples of my conversations on the radio. There are actually three other tapes that are released by Dove Entertainment featuring conversations with me that I never had anything to do with. So I don't mind this happening. And it's natural that people as powerful as Nelson Thal have the gall to put out something like this. But in the end, they're going to be used by Tom Touche, who is trying to hijack my media ecological movement for his own pink purposes. And so Thal and Neufeld and Dove Entertainment and Jerry Belanger are essentially working for him. But they cannot prevent Bob Rule lockdown, especially with the assets provided by my wife, Connie. There's no way to stop it, so I welcome the opportunity to discuss the CD.
Okay. The reading the pamphlet that's in here, there's a lot of, I find quite, maybe I'm silly, but maybe not. I find it very complicated and very hard to understand.
All right, let me...
In a few words, describe what you're trying to change in this world.
All right. What's the length of this interview?
Oh, as long as you like. I don't mind.
Okay. To begin with, in the second page, you have the tetrads, where you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up to 10. Now, tetrad is the technology developed by Marshall McLuhan to understand any process that occurs that is man-made or human-made. And you have four stages: enhancing, obsolescing, retrieving, and flipping into. Now, the 10 parts at the top are taken from the traditional medieval curriculum called the Trivium and the Quadrivium. And so number one is rhetoric, two is grammar, three is logic, four is music, five is astronomy, six is arithmetic, seven is geometry, and that's, there are seven traditional elements of the Trivium and Quadrivium, and I've added three, eight, nine, and ten, the occult, a personal guru, and Club 10. 10 is a club, which we call Club 22, which is dealing with all previous nine. So I take each one of those holy offices, we call them, and feature the prominent person, the best extension of each holy office, and do a tetrad on that person. So as you see on the bottom of page one, well, I'm looking at the cassette pamphlets, so maybe it's not exactly the same layout by page as the CD pamphlet, but on the cassette, beg your pardon?
You've got Herbert W. Armstrong, the evangelist preacher.
Yes.
For grammar.
Yes, because he studies the Bible pretty well literally and uses etymological interpretation to determine what is the literal sense of the Bible. That is the traditional exegetical or interpretive commentary level called grammar.
Right. What we're looking at here, is it some sort of like New Age numerology?
No, not New Age numerology. That would, anything New Age would follow on, would fall in under number 8, CA, for cosmic awareness. That's the main source for a New Age wisdom or obfuscation.
Mm-hmm. Why did you send this memo to Prince Charles?
Beg your pardon?
Why did you send the memo to Prince Charles?
Because he's a member of the Secret Council of Ten, which I've been chairman of since February 1988. The Secret Council... Yes?
Have you met him?
Beg your pardon?
Have you met Prince Charles?
Oh, yeah, he's a close friend. He's now basically a deadly enemy of mine because of what happened at the Secret Council of Ten. There are 40 people who elect the chairman of the Secret Council of Ten, and in 1988, during that election, among us 40 members of the Solar Theater government, we competed, Prince Charles, myself, Prince Turn and Taxis, the richest man in Europe, and a friend of Gorbachev named Romanov, no relation to the Romanov Tsarist dynasty. And so the four of us competed, and I won due to rigging certain computers and having been on the radio for over 6 months. That gave me the discarnate or electric advantage in the collective zeitgeist. And as a result of that, Prince Charles is now not as powerful as me, and he's running around trying to lock down Prince Charles' rule. And this is competing and interfering with what I'm attempting. You notice that he is the head of the Earth Summit in June next month in an attempt to lock down Earth rule there, which is miming the agenda of mine, which is a lockdown Bob rule.
We are talking about Prince Charles, the son of Queen Elizabeth. Not
yes.
Any other Prince Charles, right? Okay, that's good.
Yeah, we're talking about the famous, the one who still rules you, I guess.
In a strange sort of way, yeah.
It's Australia. Australia is trying to get rid of the monarchy, though, I understand.
They're trying. Yeah, they're trying. They'll probably go further than Canada did.
Can you talk a bit slower? It's hard to make out with the electric transmission what you're saying.
Sure thing. No problem. What do you do in your radio show?
I explain this pamphlet, basically. I've been doing that for 4 years. And I also, in the exchanging of it and the interpretation of the pamphlet, it creates such slack and such ecstasy in the audience who engage in telephone dialogue with me that whole new interpretations of this pamphlet emerged during that two-hour radio show. And as a result of that kind of verbal jazz or improvisation on the basic themes, we make sense. We make new interpretations of what I'm trying to do. So it's a constantly improvised reference to major themes that are spelled out in this pamphlet.
What's your agenda for change in the world? Do you just want to talk about it, or is it you want to produce or create something?
Well, the agenda for change is laid out in the second chart, where we talk about from 1840 to the year 2020. In 1840 to 1918, the hidden ground was telegraphed, which caused incredible changes in the world, and the effects of that sort of were echoed across the whole spectrum of institutions in the West and around undeveloped parts of the world. So I worked from 1840 to 1918, and then 1918 to 1945, the hidden ground is radio. Then from 1945 to 1960, the hidden effect is television. 1960 to 1977, the hidden effect is the computer. 1977 to 1990, the hidden effect of the satellite occurs with much ramifications. And then 1990 to 2020 is the period where the hidden ground is the holeopathic retrievals, holeopathic being a combination of homeopathy and hologram. Now, as you see, that's covering 150 to almost 200 years of change. And so
between 1990 and 2020, you have also Bob Rule.
Yeah, lockdown Bob Rule. That's the bureaucratic control via media ecology. The cover for that will be mythic government warfare. And mythic government, myth is any mixture of technologies, any combination, any cultural bias. And it's a form of hologramic control of that culture. As the cultures and their mythic stages battle with each other, which is happening in the world today, behind the scenes we lock down Bob Rule, who will be sort of expertly able, due to my experience over the last 70 years, to orchestrate the holeopathic retrievals with slack engendering ecstasy for the receivers of that. So you're asking me if I want to change the world. The world has gone through so many changes that it needs to understand the changes that have happened. And as the understanding spreads of what's happened, then we get a form of tranquility and energy at the same time, not just in a meditative sense, but energy of action where we can more harmoniously make better sense of what's happening as future changes come about. So the agenda is not simply trying to change the world. The world has been changed incredibly over the last 200 years. The idea is, how do you understand that?
But you're a historian.
Well, I'm all functions. I'm a historian, a politician, a sociologist, an artist, as it says in the back, the only artist alive today, emphasizing the alive, the only one who has comprehensive awareness to understand and manage the global theater of mixed corporate media. So historian, history would be one part of my function as a holeopathic retrieval.
You said that you were a very wealthy man. Maybe it's none of my business, but can I ask you how you gained your wealth?
Well, you have to understand that I'm in my 92nd year. I mean, excuse me, 70th year. I was thinking of 92. I was born in February 2nd, 1922, when James Joyce's Ulysses came out. So in February of 92, I was 70 years old. So having worked with the evil big brother machinations in the 30s and 40s and 50s that George Orwell lays out in 1984, which is really about 1948, I accumulated a lot of power on the technical information and gold and money level in that period as a necessary payoff in covering up and doing assassinations and all the things that one had to do in that period in the Orwellian nightmare of the effect of radio and TV from 1922 till the early 80s. But it turned out that I had to be orchestrated into a management position because Big Brother himself could not control the complexity that was happening by the late 70s and early 80s. And so even though I have many stains personally on my past from a normal citizen's point of view, that is not relevant to the expertise that's needed to manage the situation we're in now. So wealth being not just money and gold and bank accounts, but being the generator of new inventions and also the ability to calm the Secret Council 10 itself, to massage its own perspective during this crisis management period, is necessary for the chairman of the Secret Council 10, and therefore any personal misgivings about my past are irrelevant to the situation we have now, even to the point of how much money I have. That's irrelevant when you have a situation like the Reichmans, who are worth, say, $22 billion and can be wiped out instantly by any other faction. So numerically, it doesn't matter on my level how much money I have. It really matters.
I was just wondering anyway.
What?
I was just wondering.
Yeah, it really matters more how much time one has.
Okay. I understand your wife is working on a cure for AIDS. Is that correct?
That's true, but we cannot release that information for a couple more months. But you will hear about it, and that will do a lot to prove that I am Bob Dobbs and that she's Connie Dobbs, because the slack that this technology is going to bring is not only in the realm of curing AIDS, but it also will stop the aging process. But that's all I can say now about that.
Fascinating.
But you can monitor that, and when it is announced, you can call me back and we could do an interview on it.
Sure, I'd love to. So you reckon, what, about a couple of months away?
Yeah, I would say at least 4 or 5 months.
Let's talk again then.
Is that enough for you?
That's absolutely fine, Bob. I appreciate you sparing the time.
Well, I feel that I spent, if you want to take another 5 minutes, why don't you ask me, since I've sort of lectured here, why don't you ask me anything you want to ask that's not relevant to what I've talked about?
I like to think on that one.
Well, how's the CD doing there?
Oh, CD, fine. It's great. It's on our playlist. We love it.
Well, do you people like the music or the words or the whole thing?
A bit of both. The more musical stuff, Tim.
Yeah, I have to admit.
Go down better.
Beg your pardon?
The musical stuff seems to go down better than the talking.
Yeah. I have to admit that Dave Neufeld did a good job making a musical accompaniment to my bon mots, to my words. He's quite skillful in working the themes that I work, that I'm trying to explain. He has a good talent of translating it acoustically.
Making it eminently listenable.
So, you know, I spent much time in New Guinea in the 60s with Edmund Carpenter, who worked with Marshall McLuhan. Have you ever been to New Guinea yourself?
No, I haven't.
Are you looking forward to going there?
Oh, it's not high on my agenda of places to go, actually, Bob.
Well, I recommend a book called Oh, What a Blow That Phantom Gave Me by Edmund Carpenter, all about my work in New Guinea in the 60s. Oh, What a Blow That Phantom Gave Me. Recommend that to your listeners.
Okay.
It's the studies of certain tribes in Papua New Guinea. And it's a good primer on media ecology.
We'll talk again in a couple of months, I think, Bob. There's too much to take in, almost, I think.
Yeah, I think that you should make it an ongoing series. That's part of my agenda, is to be available, and I have the time to do that since I'm going to live longer with this AIDS cure. I'll have the time to continue elaborating on what we've laid down in this first interview, and I hope to be able to do this with people all over the world. That's part of locking down Bob Rule.
Right. Did you say AIDS cure or age cure?
It can be both. It's basically going to change the aging process, but one of the side effects of it is an AIDS cure for AIDS.
Oh, good. Okay, look, I've got to go.
Okay, Graham.
I appreciate you sparing the time to talk with me. I'll talk with you again in a couple of months.
Okay, remember, I'm not trying to turn you on. I'm trying to turn you loose.
Excellent.
Okay, bye.
Bye, Bob.